soul. Oh, well, they never will run dry.
You can have a seat. So, this is the Gathering Place Wardville. Glad you found us this morning. This morning it's also known as Baby Central. So, okay, Danny. We're going to make a rule after this week, Danny. It's going to be a rule in place. And so we do have some babies to dedicate this morning. And that's probably why a lot of you have come, is because you're... Yeah, if everyone could scoot in as much as possible and leave the outsides open, that would be wonderful. The front row kind of needs to be open right now, but that's okay. So, we are going to do baby dedication, and then we're going to have a time of greeting and stuff. We have asked that all of the children and the workers that are normally upstairs are down in the service with us this morning, just because we wanted them to be a part of this. It's a special time for our church family, and so that's why there are a lot more children in here than normal. It's a little more congested in here right now than it will be in just a few minutes, so bear with us. Why don't you pray with me really quickly? Father, we love you. We thank you for the gift of this day. Lord God, you tell us in the book of James that every good and perfect gift rains down from our Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows do. So we thank you that you are our good heavenly Father, and you do not change like the shifting shadows change. You're always good. You have always been good. You will always be good to us. Father, it's my prayer that this morning you would be glorified and we would be edified as a result of us being here together. God, as a result of us being here together, that we would spur one another on to good deeds, that we would love Jesus more today as a result of being here together. We do love you, Lord God, but we understand very clearly that it's only because you have loved us first. And so thank you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So our first little one this morning is Miss Audrey Zale. Is that correct? So why don't you guys come on down. Lauren and Jeremy Trimmy are the parents. Here's what Lauren has to say about Audrey. Audrey's outgoing, vivacious, and bright. She's a curious 2-year-old with a joy for life. She likes to sing, dance, paint, and explore her world. She is her parents' delight. Dad says, Audrey's pretty awesome. I once saw her try to shove an entire cupcake into her mouth. She does a pretty good heavy metal rendition of Mary Had a Little Lamb, and her dance moves are second to none. This is Audrey. We also have Emery Karras, Trimmy, sister. Mom says Emery is happy, is a happy 6-month-old with a smile that won't quit and eyes that make you melt. She loves to discover new things and slobber all over them. Her name means powerful grace, and she is a constant reminder of God's continued grace in our lives. She is her parents' delight. Dad says Emery is pretty cool. She likes to see everything that is going on and is learning how to make really impressive pterodactyl cries. She produces an amount of slobber that is truly astounding. I really don't know where it all comes from. She can roll over and sit up like a champ and once pooped on her own head. I'm just a messenger. So Mr. Mike, our other elder over children's ministry, is going to pray over them. Right now, if you would, if you are a family member of the Trimmies, would you please stand up? If you're in the life group with the Trimmies, would you please stand and pray along with Mr. Mike as he prays over them? Our next little one belongs to Josh and Wendy Barrett. Yeah, oh, I agree with that. Little Jubilee Hannah. Just a few words from her parents. She is truly a gift from God and an answer to our prayers. She is strong and beautiful, happy, and has the sweetest spirit. She also loves to eat and sleep like we do. God has big plans for her, and she is blessed with a community of believers who have prayed for her for years. We have. Mr. Mike, why don't you come and pray? If you're a family member of Josh and Wendy, here to support them, why don't you please stand? If you're part of their life group, would you please stand? have a seat. Our next little one belongs to Alan and Casey Knotts. Briley Claire. Here's what they have to say about Briley. Briley has blessed our family so much in the past 4 months. She has been with us. We love watching her and Landry together. They love one another and have a sweet relationship. We love the way Briley's face lights up when she sees one of us. I love the way she studies everyone and everything, but when she smiles, it melts our hearts. Her giggles are the best. Did you include the giggle line? That was you, Alan? Sounds like something you'd say. In 4 months, God has taught us more than we can express. He has taught us love multiplies. He has taught us that we can choose to press on even when we're exhausted. We have seen His strength as He gets us through each restless night and through the sometimes seemingly long days. He has even abolished some of my unrealistic fears through her birth. Through the birth of Landry, our faith was increased, and with Briley, we are overwhelmed with God's mercy. Briley Claire. So, Mr. Mike, why don't you come and pray over Briley? If you are a family member of Alan and Casey and have come to join them this morning in dedicating Briley, would you please stand? If you're part of the life group that they attend or involved with, would you please stand as well? Enough of those girls. Let's move on to some little boys. Next one belongs to Wade and Melissa Poole. So, Duggars, why don't you come on down and meet us? Samuel Wade is the newest addition. Here's what they have to say about Samuel. He's born on Christmas Day. Samuel is the gift that keeps on giving. As our fourth baby, he has been the easiest of the bunch. He is a happy baby, even when his brothers sit on him or his sister wants to carry him around the house. He is army crawling, eats table food, hates baths, and loves his bed. We are so thankful for his sweet disposition and his happy heart. If you are a family member here to support Wade and Melissa, would you please stand? If you are part of their life group, would you please stand? Mr. Mike, would you come and pray over them? Next one belongs to Troy and Kelly Fulce. Jack Rowland. Here's what they have to say about Jack. He's such a happy, carefree baby, as long as we don't take his bottle away while he's eating. He loves to smile, play, roll over, and is fascinated by fans. We need some of those this morning, don't we? He has brought so much joy into our lives. We never knew we could love someone so much so quickly. We are so blessed to be on this adventure. Our prayer is that God will reveal Himself to Jack and that Jack will come to know and love the Lord. Jack Rowland. If you're a family member of Troy and Kelly, would you please stand? If you're part of their life group, would you please stand? You can have a seat. Our next little one belongs to Miss Kayla Corville. Little Arrow Knight, the whaler. Here's what Kayla has to say about Arrow. Arrow is the absolute most beautiful, most delightful gift and perfect blessing. He has the sweetest demeanor. As a result, he very much loves full attention and lots of cuddle time. The Lord saw fit that Arrow be born with a fighting spirit. It has brought him through some difficulties, and he has been progressing and moving forward, as his name proclaims, ever since. I'm grateful for this beautiful angel boy and declare the path for his future be laden with hope, joy, love, and salvation. She includes 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 27 and 28. For this boy I have prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition that I made to him. Therefore I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord. Arrow Knight. If you're part of Kayla's family and you've joined us this morning to show your support for she and Arrow, would you please stand? If you're part of Kayla's life group, would you please stand in solidarity with her? Last but not least, Mr. Eli Ransom Hensgens belongs to Heath and Allison. Would you guys come on down? Here's what they have to say about Eli. Eli is our little bundle of joy. His name means, "My God delivers." He is calm and even tempered and loves to smile and chat. He has been such a blessing and a daily reminder of the Lord's goodness. If you're a family member of Heath and Al, would you please stand? If you're part of their life group, would you please stand, sign of solidarity? If I can get all of the families to come back up really quickly. So you guys can just stay. So we had a little dinner last night with all of these families, and it was at that time that they made their commitment. Because this is really more about the parents than it is about the babies, right? And so here's what they've agreed to. And so I'm just going to read this again. And if you guys, we're just going to publicly profess that we're committing to do this, right? So here's what they've agreed to. It says, we as parents are committing to raising our children in a home that declares Jesus as Lord. We will strive to share the gospel and live out the gospel to our children every day. We promise to teach them God's words so that they will know it. We promise to seek wise counsel on this journey and to welcome accountability and encouragement. And we promise to keep the goal of our children, knowing and loving Jesus, as our priority. Do you still agree to that? We do. Okay. Now, if you are a family member or a member here at the Gathering Place Wardville, I'm going to ask that you stand. Because while we understand this, everybody listening, we understand that God has placed the responsibility, the accountability for raising these children in the ways of the Lord falls on the parents. But they're not to do it alone, right? And so, that's where we come in. And so I want you to listen to this carefully. So, you as a body surrounding these couples, these families, do you strive to share the gospel and live out the gospel in front of these children every day? Do you promise to teach them God's word so they will know it? Do you promise to be that wise counsel for them on this journey and provide accountability and encouragement? And do you promise that your goal for these children will always be them knowing and loving Jesus? Do you promise that? Why don't you pray with me one more time? Father, we love you. We thank you for this incredible display of your goodness in front of us. You are so good. Father, help us to feel the weight of these little ones in front of us. Help us to feel the weight of the responsibility of bringing them up in the ways of Jesus. Help us, God, to feel that weight, and then give us strength and wisdom and patience beyond ourselves. We love you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You can all have a seat. We love you guys. So, my name is Eric. That's pretty irrelevant. I'm one of the pastors here at the Gathering Place Wardville. Mr. Mike, that was up here praying over the couples, he is the other elder here at the moment. We just want to tell you, we're so glad that you're here. We have a lot of visitors here this morning, and we're so glad that you're here. Here's what we hope to be true, that you could say is true when you leave this place, that we are all about the gospel this morning. That's what we hope to be true. Because we understand that the gospel isn't just the beginning of the Christian message. It isn't just a springboard into Christian life. It is the pool, right? It's like one pastor said, it's not the ABCs of Christianity. It is the A through Z of Christianity. We never move beyond the gospel of Jesus Christ. We just move deeper in to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, it's my prayer that the gospel will be evident to you this morning. The fact that Jesus is the only way for us to be made right with a Father that our sin has separated us from. So hopefully that's true. You can feel that this morning. Hopefully the gospel makes it where you feel welcome. Just like the gospel welcomes us in, where we were once orphans, the gospel brought us into the family of God. Hopefully you feel that kind of welcoming and warmth because of the gospel here this morning as well. Not the warmth you're having a fan about, another kind of warmth. We promise to have, it'll be cooler in here about mid-December, so wait on that. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to get up and welcome one another. Before we do that, though, here's what I need. If you are one of the leaders upstairs this morning for our children's department upstairs, for our preschool department, why don't you go ahead, the leaders, why don't you make your way up to the, and I'll release the Kraken in just a little bit to go up there and meet you. So leaders, why don't you go on up? And parents, if you have a child that's all the way up through preschool, then feel free, you can go, and there'll be somebody in the back directing you if you want your child to spend some time upstairs. They learn about the gospel upstairs in ways that they can understand it. So if you want that to happen, you're welcome to make that happen. And so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to have you stand. I want you to welcome one another. Parents, this is the time for you to bring your kids upstairs. We'll give you a prolonged time. Bring your kids upstairs. If your kids stand here, make sure they potty now. Let's do it now. After this, the bathroom shuts down for all those under the age of 15. Just letting you know. Okay. In a little bit, when you start heading back to your seats, why don't you make sure you push in and scoot up. In a little bit, when you head back to your seats, push in, scoot up.
Good morning, everyone. Let's press in and press forward and press in and press forward. The gospel unites us, and we're going to get real united this morning. Come on. Let's all stand. Water you turn.
Water you turn into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. Not like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. Not like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power. Our God. Our God.
Hey.
You shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. Not like you.
Our God, sing again.
Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer.
Our God is greater.
Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power. Our God. Our God.
Stop us. And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against?
saint, no other saint left glory to embrace the sinner's cross. No other king brings paupers in to sit upon his throne. And no other God who was and is still is yet to come. There is no
hope in life. We have no hope in death. We have no freedom apart from your work, your finished work on the cross. We have no hope. But Father, you saw fit to send your Son. We praise you for that. Jesus, we praise you for the fact that you came willfully and died on a cross, that you came as our substitute, as our propitiation, as our atonement that we couldn't fill, as our debt that we couldn't pay. You came willfully and mercifully, not out of anything good that you saw in us, but because the Father loved us. Thank you that you went. Thank you that you ascended. Thank you for providing the Holy Spirit for us. Thank you for giving us a great mediator. Holy Spirit, thank you for changing hearts, for breathing life into dead bones, for revealing the beauty of who Jesus is. Thank you for heart change that only comes from you. Thank you that's for salvation because you have awakened us. Thank you, our glorious triune God. Thank you that though you saw no good in us, you chose to love us. Thank you. Thank you. Spirit, thank you for doing what we were unable to do. Thank you for revealing the beauty of Jesus, for revealing the work of Jesus, for revealing the promise, the security, and the salvation of Jesus to our dead hearts. Thank you for bringing us new life. Father, we pray that you are glorified here. Jesus, we thank you for showing us the Father. Holy Spirit, thank you for breathing new life. Come now and speak to us. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You could have a seat. I know it's hot. I apologize. Here's what we're going to have to do, though. Everybody ready? We're going to have to try extra hard to tune in to the Word this morning. So will everybody do that for me? We're going to try extra hard to tune in. I'm okay if you want to fan yourself, fan a neighbor, whatever you need to do. So we have been, for the past 15 years, going through the book of Romans. It's only been, it's, what, 8 months? Something like that? Something like that. Today is our 1 year anniversary at this location. Right? Isn't that crazy? Yeah, it's like, it has absolutely flown by. And so, man, we're so grateful to the Lord for what He's doing here, what He's done here. And so, we're glad you're here this morning. Man, how'd y'all do that? How'd y'all hook up a box fan? These are now, these are the going to the highest bidders. These, put your money in the plate, checks payable to TGP Wardville. This morning we're going to step out of the book of Romans for a little bit. And I just thought it would be a good opportunity for us to talk about something a little bit different this morning, in light of the fact that we had 8 precious little ones that the Lord has entrusted to us. And in light of all of the videos, if you've been able to, on Facebook, wade through all of the uproar about a lion that's been shot in Zimbabwe, right? Wade through the countless venom-laced tirades that have been aimed at this dentist who shot a lion in Zimbabwe, then maybe you've seen the Planned Parenthood videos, right? And the fact that there are people harvesting baby parts for profit. So if you've been able to wade through the uproar about the lion, man, hopefully your heart has been stirred to life by the atrocity that we saw that was brought to light over the past few weeks. So we're going to look at something this morning, and my hope is that the Holy Spirit will kick us in the teeth. Right? So let's look at what the Word of the Lord has to say. If you have your Bibles with you, why don't you turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. And if you're in the life group that meets at the Charbonneaux that I used to teach, yep. We only spent about 3 years in Matthew. I think we made it to what? Before, Andrew, you took over at like chapter 12? Yeah. So, we're well-versed in Matthew as well. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to read Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. I'm going to read them out loud. You're going to read them there on your phone or your Bible. There are pew Bibles available. Most of you have found them and are using them right now for other means. It's also going to be on the screen. And so, in just a second, I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to read aloud. You're going to read along with me. After we get done, I'm going to say the word of the Lord, and we're all going to respond, thanks be to God, because we are thankful for God's word. It is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So why don't you stand with me, and let's see what the word of the Lord has to say concerning us, concerning himself, and concerning truth. Matthew chapter 5, starting verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to the whole house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. The word of the Lord. You can have a seat. So, you've all heard this. If you've spent any amount of time in church, you've heard that passage, right? If you grew up in the South, you've heard that passage, right? That we are salt of the earth, light of the world, city on a hill. So you've all heard the, salt. What, there are many different uses of salt. I'm sure you've heard a sermon preached on each one, the fact that salt gave flavor to something that was bland, the fact that, salt was so valuable that actually Roman soldiers were sometimes paid in salt. Here's what I think that Matthew is trying to help us understand here, though. According to the text, here's what I think he's trying to help us see. There was one use that was common in all homes that all of the readers of this letter would have understood. And it's the fact that salt was used as a preservative, right? There was no refrigeration. So how do you keep meat from going bad? You layer it in salt, and it preserves. It stops decay. Salt stops decay. So here's what Jesus was telling his followers that day. You are the agent that I have placed in this world to stop the decay. And listen, I don't care what... I'm not a scientist, but I don't care what evolutionists say. The world is not progressing into greater degrees of order, right? Would you agree with that? Like, if you leave things up to their own, like, the world doesn't, a tornado doesn't come and make your bed, right? It throws your bed into the next parish, is what it does, right? It always, the order of things is decay. And so Jesus said this, man, I've placed you here for the purpose of preservation. You are to stop the downward spiral that cultures naturally go towards. So, I've kind of already clued you in, right? If you need, if you want rock solid proof of the decay of the culture around us, you need look no further than the atrocity that is abortion. Just a few things I ran across. In a massacre that is almost unspeakable, more than 56 million American babies have been murdered in the United States since Roe versus Wade was decided in 1973. 56 million in just the United States. When you total up all forms of abortion, including those caused by the abortion drug RU486, the grand total comes to more than 1 million abortions performed in the United States every single year. And we're worried about a lion. The number of American babies killed by abortion each year is roughly equal to the number of U.S. military deaths that have occurred in all of the wars that the United States has ever been involved in combined. That's the yearly number of aborted babies. Approximately 3,000 Americans lost their lives as a result of the destruction of the World Trade Center towers on 9/11. Every single day, more than 3,000 American babies are killed by abortion. About one-third of all American women will have had an abortion by the age of 45. One-third. Approximately 47% of the women that get an abortion each year in the United States have also had a previous abortion. It has been reported that a staggering 41% of all New York pregnancies end in abortion. Approximately 78% of all abortions in New York City are performed on African, American, and Hispanic babies. Black lives do matter. And this isn't showing it. According to Pastor Cleaner Childress, approximately 52% of all African American pregnancies now end in abortion. About 18% of all abortions in the United States each year are performed on teenagers. One very shocking study found that 86% of all abortions are done for the sake of, anybody want to guess? Convenience, absolutely. According to this institute, the average cost of first trimester abortion at 10 weeks is, anybody want to guess? 10-week abortion, how much? $451. Many insurance companies now prefer abortion because the average cost of a vaginal birth with no complications in the United States is now over, anybody want to guess that one? $9,000. During the fiscal year 2014, Planned Parenthood snuffed out the life of 327,653 babies. Planned Parenthood specifically targets the poor. A staggering 72% of Planned Parenthood's customers have incomes that are either equal to or beneath the 150% of the federal poverty level. There are 30 Planned Parenthood executives that make more than $200,000 a year. A few of them actually make more than $300,000 a year. Planned Parenthood gets more than $400 million from the federal government each year. Overall, there have been well over a billion abortions performed around the world since 1980. So here's what I'm envisioning. Here's what I'm afraid of. If I could see thought bubbles, you know, the little thought bubbles above everyone's head, I'm afraid it would... I would see things that you're thinking like this. Man, Eric, this is dangerous. Why would you bring something so political to the pulpit? Here's what I want to be very clear on. The destruction of human life is not ultimately a political issue. It is a sovereign creator God of the universe issue. So what does he have to say? What is a human being? What did God create us to be? Why are we here? Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. You want to know who we are as human beings? We're the image bearers of God Almighty. We were designed and created to somehow, in some way, reflect his glory and his goodness. We were designed in the very image of God. That's why racism is out of bounds for the believer. That's why prejudice of any form is out of bounds for the believer. That's why abortion is out of bounds for the believer, is because every human being, because we're created in the image of God, we carry a certain dignity that does not come from us, it comes from the Creator. What is a human being? A human being is this, the image bearer of the Creator God. Why were we created? I mean, that's one of the big philosophical questions that keep those deep thinkers up at night. Like, why are we here? You want to know why we're here? Here's why we're here. Isaiah 43, 6 and 7. It should be on the screen. Here's what God said. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Let me just give you some rest right here. Everybody ready? It's not that difficult of a question to answer. You want to know why you're here? Why you were created? Why God has chosen human beings to be his image bearers? It's for his glory. So that we can make much of him and delight in him and have others to come to delight in him. We were created for his glory. That is your purpose. And so if you're wondering, college student, if you're a senior and haven't picked a major yet, man, chill out. Pick something and then do it for God's glory. How about that? Right? What does God have to say about destroying his image bearers? I mean, that'd be a relevant question with the issue of abortion, wouldn't it? What does God have to say about destroying his image bearers? Throughout the Bible, he says that murder is wrong. It's a wicked thing. It made it into the top 10, right? God does not look favorably on murder. You're not to murder people who bear his image. Right? In fact, he says, if you spill human blood, your life is forfeit as well. In the Old Testament, it's fascinating. I'm reading some books right now about Hezekiah and his reign, and there's vivid imagery painted on something that I just read over in the Old Testament. One of the most detestable false gods in the Old Testament, in the eyes of the one true God, was this god by the name of Molech. Anybody familiar with Molech? What set Molech apart from the other gods? How did you worship Molech? Yeah, child sacrifice. God and this false god, Molech, did not get along. It was detestable in the eyes of the Holy One, right? And so now it's not some brazen, fiery statue in which we throw our unborn, our children into in order to worship. That's not the object of our worship. Molech is no longer hip. Instead, it's our planner. And our plans and our dreams. And we sacrifice our children there. So if God is the author of life, we bear his image and therefore have some of the dignity, some dignity because of that. And because God has created us for his glory, and because God has certain things to say about the destruction of human life, maybe it'd be a good idea to check out where life begins. What does the Bible have to say about this? Psalm chapter 139, verses 13 through 16. You all know this. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. So the picture that David is painting there is an artist creating a work of art, not somebody throwing something together last minute. There's thought, there's purpose, there's creativity involved. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret. Intricately woven in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Can we just agree that the whole idea of whether it's a life or not is a pretty silly debate at this point? Can we agree to that? Like, something's forming in the womb of a woman is not, there's not going to be a hippopotamus come out of there. Right? It's going to be a baby. I wonder if when Roe versus Wade, if they had the ability, if they had 4D ultrasounds like we have now, where you can see freckles. Right? I wonder if it would have made a difference in the minds of the Supreme Court justices. If you would be able to see your unborn baby smile. Smile at 8 weeks, right? 8 weeks old, 8 weeks of development within the womb. Here's what the baby has. Baby has its own fingerprints, its own blood type. The liver is producing their own blood cells. Thumb sucking is possible. Their neural pathways are so complex, they're complex enough that the baby can recoil from pain. So when the doctor goes in to take blood samples or something, the baby will raise its leg to avoid the needle. 8 weeks. At 21 weeks old, babies with relatively little assistance from the outside can survive outside the womb. 21 weeks. Anybody want to guess where, at what point most abortions take place? After the 21-week mark. Here's what we need to understand. Even inside the womb, a human life screams that there's a creator God. Here's what we can understand from all of this. Value and dignity first come from what we are and not who we are. What we are is created in the image of God. Before our personalities are formed or that we do anything right or wrong that may define who we are, the Bible defines what we are. We are created in the image of God and for His glory. Here's what this means. Everybody ready? And here's where the teeth kicking begins. As members of God's kingdom, we are not given the luxury of the options of silence and inactivity. Here's what's very clear. Nations will be held accountable for abortion. Governments will be held accountable for abortion. People who practice abortions will be held accountable for the murder of unborn children. And the church will be held accountable. A church who has relegated itself to silence will be held accountable. We are not just to be salt. So when I think of salt, right, I think of this, you're stalwart, like you've set yourself like flint against something. And so we've done that really well, especially like a Southern Baptist. We'll boycott you in a heartbeat. Disney, you better watch, we'll boycott you in a heartbeat, right? So we've proven that we can be salt and take a stand against decay. We stand there and we're firm and we're... But that passage doesn't just say we're to be salt. It says we're to be light as well. What does light do? Light dispels darkness and shows a better way. We're not just to be salt in this. We're to be light as well. So how can you be light? Everybody ready? Let's put some feet to it. When's the last time your heart was burdened to pray for the massacre that's happening in our country and around our world? Prayer is not the least we can do, it's the most we can do. When's the last time we prayed? Here's a very specific way you can pray. Pray about foster care. An adoption, right? So it's one thing to pick it outside of an adoption clinic. It's another thing to bring a sign that says, hey, if you keep the baby, I'll take it, right? That's what light does. Salt holds a picket sign. Light says, if you keep it, I'll take it. Love it like it's my own. So pray about adoption and foster care. Find ways to make your voice heard. Attend rallies. Write to your politicians. Right now in the back of the church, past all of the chairs we had to bring in, there's a petition back there that where you can make your voice heard. And so here's what I expect. I expect that we have to wade through a line of people at the end of the service who want to make their voices heard. We'll put it out on the porch to make it easier. And it's cooler out there probably, so... Here's a good one. Volunteer to Crisis Pregnancy Center. Go and bring hope to a young woman who thinks there is no hope. It's crazy how right now the Lord is forming a relationship. Casey, where are you? Is Casey in here? Casey. God just dropped somebody in Casey's lap that works with crisis pregnancies. It's got connections to Wardville. Like it's far more than a coincidence. So talk to Casey about how you can get involved working in a crisis pregnancy center. Here's a good one. Vote in a way that reflects your convictions. Right. Anybody watch the debate? Yeah. I was disappointed in Trump. I felt like he should have been more of himself. So they can talk about all of these issues, how what they're going to do will impact me economically, how it's going to protect my freedoms, or whatever the case may be. If the candidate is not willing to step up and take a firm stand on the fact that he recognized that all life carries dignity, it's not an option. Right? They can keep their other talking points because it's off limits. Vote in a way that reflects your convictions. And finally is this, always, always view this issue and address this issue through a gospel lens. Here's what that means. The gospel lens always, always allows us to see redemption and grace in every situation. And so here's what I have to remind myself. When I get on my high horse, the sin of abortion is no greater than the sin, my sin, that separated me from a holy God. Right? And so, if all these statistics that we read are true, there's somebody in here this morning who has been touched in some way, personally, by abortion. And so let me just tell you, when I'm talking about this, I'm not talking about it from a judgmental standpoint, because listen, my sin is just as atrocious in the eyes of a holy God as that sin is. And yet there's grace and redemption. And so even in this, that is one of the darkest things that culture could ever be a part of, even in this, man, where sin abounds, grace superabounds, even in this, the Lord God, creator of the universe, who's ruler over all powerful, is able to say, I'm going to make that good. And he can redeem even this. And so if you're in here this morning and you have participated in some way, you've been touched in some way personally by abortion, I just want you to know there's grace and redemption through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as believers who are going to start speaking out in defense of the defenseless, here's what I want you to remember. In your tone and in your words and in your love, you need to show that there is grace and redemption. I'm going to ask the same of you as a body that I did in dealing with the whole the issue of same-sex marriage. We're going to handle ourselves at all times. We're going to have truth and love. That's how we're going to handle ourselves. Remember, we talked about the fact that if we only have love and we feel like we can't speak any hard truth, then listen, and we don't present the truth because we feel like it should all be love, listen, that's no love at all, because we don't give people any real answers and real hope. And so there has to be love. Everybody ready though? There has to be truth as well. Right? Truth gives salt and light, provides the answer. Listen, if we give it and it's all love and no truth, we give no real answers. If it's all truth, it's hard truth and no love, the Bible says this, we become a clanging cymbal in the ears of our culture and we lose our voice altogether. So this would be my absolute greatest desire for us this morning. That we would be champions of the unborn. And not primarily because our hearts are moved for the unborn, it's because our hearts are moved that the glory of God is being stolen and robbed, and he is being defamed through all of this. So we would go out as an army defending the unborn and fighting for the glory of our God who made us in his image and for his glory. But that we'd also do it through the gospel lens of grace and redemption, and our words and our actions and our tones would be marked with equal measures of truth and love. So again, if you feel the need, the burning desire, the need, the unquenchable thirst to get on Facebook and share your feelings about this, make sure it's truth and love. If you see one of our family members in the room right now speaking on Facebook in a way that doesn't have truth and love, give some accountability there, but make sure it's in truth and love. We have not been given the option of silence on this. If we continue to be content with passivity in this issue, here's what we can count on. We will fall under the judgment of a holy God. And we will be held accountable. Let's fight. Let's fight in truth and love, right? That's my prayer for us. So this morning, we're going to transition into a time of worship. And listen, I know this, that man, that's heavy this morning. Listen, here's why we have reason to worship, is because we have a God who can make all things new, right? Jesus came to make all things new. He came to usher in a kingdom where all things are being made new, including this issue. We have a God who can redeem all things, even the darkest things, about who we are, like this. And so there's a reason to worship this morning. So that's what we're going to do. This is not a time for us to get our stuff together and pack up. We're going to worship. And so the praise team is going to come and lead us through one more song. And we're going to worship through song. The altar is going to be open. If you need to come down and pray this morning, come down and pray. Spend some time with the Father. Mr. Mike and I will be down front as your elders to pray with you or over you if you need that. There will be some life group leaders down here to pray. If you need somebody to pray with you, come. Our offering plate is going to be down here eventually. It's not here right now. It will be. When it's down here, we don't pass a plate just so you can mindlessly drop something in. We want it to be an act of worship. And so we want you to come, bring your kids, bring your family, tell them about God's goodness towards you and how you're giving back a little bit. Let that be a time of worship. But the main, everybody with me? The best picture we could give you of the gospel this morning is found on the little tables on either side of the altar. On the tables, there's a plate with broken bread and a cup with juice in it. And the broken bread, of course, represents the broken body of Jesus that was broken to atone for the sin that I spoke of earlier that is so egregious that it separates us from a holy God. Jesus died and his body was broken so that you and I could be made right with a holy God. It's called atonement or payment. And that the bread represents his body that was our atonement. The juice represents his blood that the Bible says washes us white as snow. It washes away our transgressions and our iniquities. And it clothes us in the righteousness of Christ. And so here's the thing. Believer, follower of Christ, if you've turned to Jesus through repentance and faith, we ask that you come and partake of the table. As you come and you take the bread, you dip it in the juice and you eat it, we don't want you to check out mentally or emotionally or spiritually. We want you to reflect on some things. Here's what we want you to reflect on. We want you to reflect on what Christ has done. It's what I just said. Christ was the atoning sacrifice for our sin. So reflect on that. Think about the cross. As you take the bread and the juice, think about the cross and what Christ has done. Remember what Christ has done. Acknowledge who he is now, because right now the Bible says that Jesus is still at work for us. He is still our representative, our paraclete, seated at the right hand of the Father in a body of flesh, and he's pleading our case before the throne of a holy God. Right now, Jesus is doing that. And so we're going to acknowledge who he is. And finally, we're going to look forward to the future, to what he's going to do. Because one day, this meager little table is going to explode into the horizon. Right? And on it's going to be everything that satisfies the belly. It's going to be a sight to behold. It's going to be the banqueting table of the marriage feast of the Lamb. Right? And it's going to be awe-inspiring, the table itself. But that's not what's going to capture our hearts at that moment. It's going to be at the head of the table is going to be the bridegroom, Jesus. And at that moment, he's going to be reigning perfectly in power and justice and wisdom and peace. No more temptation, no more sin, every tear wiped away. And guess what? If you have turned to Jesus through repentance and faith and have been justified, made right in the eyes of a holy God, if your life is marked by sanctification where every day you're looking more and more like Jesus, then the Bible says it's not a question. One day, glorification will be true for you and you have a seat at the table without a doubt. No questions asked. If you have been justified, you are being sanctified, the Bible says you will be glorified. And so, believer, as you come and partake of the table, come and remember what Christ has done. Acknowledge who he is now. Look forward to the future, to what he's going to do. If you're not a believer, this is going to sound really harsh. We ask that you not come and partake. This is a family dinner, right? It's a family meal. And listen, we're not trying to withhold any good gift from you. Come and partake of Jesus. He's better. And so parents, come and bring your kids. If your kid has not responded to Jesus through repentance and faith, they're not to take. They're to come and learn and watch. They're not to take. Believer, come. Remember what Christ has done. Acknowledge who he is now. Look forward to the future, what he's going to do. Why don't you stand and pray with me? Father, we thank you for your overwhelming love for us. We thank you that you have created us in your image, and because of that, there is dignity about us, and you expect us to be your image bearers. We thank you that we've been created for your glory, and that always means our good. Your glory always means our good. When we delight in you, help us, Lord God, to delight in you and treasure you above all else. We thank you for Jesus and the fact that the communion table paints a very vivid picture of who he is and what he's done. And we're so thankful, Lord God, so we come humbly to the table. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, if you will, have a seat for just 1 second. Maybe longer than 1 second. Here's what I need us to do really quickly. The Robans are leaving to go see Brandon and Mindy in Turkey and spend some time with them. So it's going to be a very intentional trip, if you know what I'm saying. So I would like for this. Mr. Mike, Ms. Donna, would you just stand where you are? It's okay. Just stand where you are. Your life group's going to stand around you. And I've asked Andrew Magel, who's the leader of their life group, to pray for them. So we do small groups throughout the week. And so when you hear me say the word life group, this is what it looks like. And so we try not to age segregate. We believe we can learn from one another. And so this is their life group. And they love each other. Andrew, would you pray for them really quickly?
Just that as they're preparing for travel with all the details that need to be taken care of, that you would ease any concerns or any fears and provide people around them to help them get ready to leave, Father. We just thank you for the reuniting of family that we see happen as they go to see Brandon. They haven't seen him in a long time, Brandon and Mindy. Just that you would make that a time of renewing and refreshing. Just that they could speak freely about their lives, Father. We do thank you for the sacrifice of the time that they've given just to be apart for so long. Just pray that their time there would be intentional, Father, that they're going for a visit, but they would still be intentional in the relationships that they're forming and their time with Brandon and the conversations that they're having. And that we would be excited to welcome them home just to see what they've learned, see what they've experienced, and that they could grow and shape us as well. Father, we love you. It's in your name that we pray.
So that means you got to bring all of us back souvenirs because we did that. Really quickly, we have several announcements that need to be made, that you need to be made aware of, and we have to move quickly because upstairs, if we wait much longer, they're going to kill us. So, Tommy, you got those slides for the announcements? So next week, we're going to start 9:15, all students. We're going to start with a breakfast at 9:15 and followed by Bible study at 9:30. And so elementary, junior high, high school, college students, 9:15, we're going to feed you breakfast, dig into the Word, starting at 9:15, 9:30 Bible study. And preschool. So basically, everybody come at 9:15 for church next for breakfast next week. Our website is now up.
Should be.
Our website is now up, tgpwardville.com. Go and check it out. Lori has put it together for us, and it is phenomenal. She's done a great job.
It's not totally done, but you can at least see where it's headed.
Tommy, next slide.
The Thrive Women's Conference is August the 23rd, Sunday, from 5:30 to 7:30. So all women are invited. We're going to worship. We're going to have Bible study. We're going to have prayer. It's going to be amazing. So
there you go. I couldn't have said it like that. Physically, couldn't have said it like that. Worship and Media Arts Forum, August 30th. If you're interested, if you're creative in any way, not necessarily just musically, if you do graphic design, all of those things, if you can hit a button and move a slide forward, and you want to do that, if you know a soundboard, Worship Media Arts Forum, August 30th, 5:30 p.m. Next Saturday, everybody got all this? Next Saturday is new member training, and so it's the first step in becoming a member here at TGP Wardville. And so next Saturday in the fellowship hall, 9 to 12, new member training. If you're interested in going through new member training, where's Matt? Matthew's right here. He's going to be right up here on the stage after the service. If you're interested in new member training, first step of the membership process, come and talk to Matt next Saturday, 9 to 12 o'clock. And then we also have a life group leaders meeting next Sunday after church, so be prepared for that.
That's all on the calendar on the website if you forgot.
Ta-da! There you go. All right, everybody stand with me. We're going to read the Apostles' Creed. This will be our benediction. And you need to go get your kids upstairs quickly so we don't all die. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended into the grave. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Go, you are loved. Sign the petition on your way out. It'll be on the porch.